Hey, I'm Shimon, and this is the Faith Through Music podcast. Here we speak with artists, creators, and musicians about how faith influences their music and how music has influenced their faith. As a rabbinical student and concert photographer, music has played a key role in my religious experience. I believe that through these conversations, we will all be able to gain a deeper appreciation of the transformative power of music. Today I have the pleasure to speak with Mendel Sherman and Alter Deutsch, two amazing people and founders of the Sababa Music Festival, a festival geared at bringing Jews of all backgrounds together through music. Guys, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Tons of fun.
Yeah.
My pleasure. So what led you guys to start Sababa Music Fest?
Mendel, you want to run with this?
Sure. What started Sababa Fest? It's like a lot of little things, but the at large is kind of wanting to bring people together in a fun and unique way, but also combining like elements that haven't really been fully fully part of the community, I guess, at large. Something, you know, something a little bit out of the box, something a little bit different, something with, you know, a little bit more creative in the arts. Kind of just combining all of these different elements was always just a passion of mine, and wanting to throw a weekend to bring everyone together is kind of inspired a lot of that. Alter, well, you could continue.
I mean, for me, it was just like, it was almost like a passive evolution of things, you know, like we started going camping and we got all excited about it. And then we brought our friends, and then all of our friends were getting excited about it. And before you knew it, people were doing this. And then when it was happening, okay, so we need to bring the food, and then we need to bring a taira. And then it's like, oh, if we're all here, maybe we should do Havdalah, get some music. Like, it's just, it slowly started evolving. And it wasn't really thought out on my end. I was just doing it. We were just cruising with it, you know? And yeah. Then Mendel called me and he was like, hey, would you like to throw a music festival? I'm like, yes. All these things that we've been doing, we'll just like actually sit down and plan and make it happen. Till now it was just like, yeah, whatever, we're coming, we're going. He'll bring a guitar. He was like, okay, we're making a music festival in this Shabbos spirit. In this very unique, it's very unique to our age, our time, our, you know, our humans, these millennial Jews. It's like a from Jew millennial is such a unique creature in history. We're fully American. You know all the politics of today. You know all the business of today. You know what's going on in the stock market. You know what's going on in pop culture. You know, like we are fully American, but we are fully from Jews. And we're just doing this blend of thing. And that's where Sababa is really, just really being for us. You know, it's music, it's Shabbos, it's a good time. It's, yeah, so that's kind of how it went. Mendel, we were doing it, and then Mendel was like, we're doing it.
You're going big.
Yeah, no, I remember even with Mendel back when, Mendel, when we did Birthright back together, this was a thought I feel like you even, that was in like the back of your mind already then, thinking about throwing a festival. I feel like that's always been like your...
Yeah,
it's your thought and your passion.
Yeah, it's been in the back of my mind for many years. Probably since like 2009 era, like it's kind of when like the spark kind of like was like, yo, I want to do this thing. And like back then, like no one was really doing these kinds of like Jewish festivals. And then, you know, a couple years later, the camping trip did one. People were starting to do it as like the years went on, which like motivated me even more to like kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah. To give other credit just in the history of Jewish from gatherings, because, you know, like Mendel said, there was the camping trip and your idea predated it. There were, for me, I went to Chevras Avos Yisrael. They had, that's a shul in Crown Heights, and they had... just for the shul, it was like a Shabbos getaway. They called it Shabbos in Gan Eden. And yeah, and it was not a music festival. It was literally just all of us going out there. And the first few times it was in bunkhouses, the second few times it was camping. and they would have meals, and we would sing the davening together. And it wasn't quite this, but it was like a precedent, you know, it was like an antecedent to it, as well as Chana Leif's. You know, she had her Shabbos party, go to the Shabbos party, and again, it wasn't quite a music festival, but it was camping and the Jews hanging out, and we bring food, and okay, we'll have Avdallah, and okay, there was a DJ, you know, like these things were happening. So we weren't born in a vacuum, you know, we weren't born in a vacuum. There was definitely movement and momentum to the point where when we put our finger on it, it exploded. Like the time was there, you know, like the momentum was there, and we were like, so that was kind of how it went.
No, like you guys found exactly the right spot in time, and you kind of brought everything together, all these different elements, and kind of fuse it together into something that also, even just from a, everyone was comfortable with, also even from a marketing standpoint, now we're selling, putting this out as a music festival, which I think got people even more excited than just, oh, let's go camping with my friends. It's like we had this whole festival experience that we could have as you said, as a from Jewish millennial.
Yeah. And that also is a testament to the times, to say that we're doing a Jewish music festival and we didn't get like strung up on a tree somewhere. like that's another testament to the times, which I really appreciate. Thank you, society.
Yeah, timing has been one of our best friends. Like, thank God. Like, timing has just kind of worked out with a lot of different things. Miracles and things just falling into place. Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to hit on in particular of any of those kind of, like you're saying, like timing or miracles and things like falling into place
that everything
stands out?
Everything.
Yeah, just even as simple as, you know, how me and Mendel were introduced was one of those things that just fall into place, because I had been at a friend of ours, Yochanan Crane. He runs a winery, which I was actually just there last week. Yeah, last week. It was beautiful. And you know, we had been there doing a Shabbaton, and then Mendel had been there with his yeshiva earlier, and Mendel wanted to do Sababa there. So he calls Yochanan, and Yochanan says, okay, you know, if you want to do something here, no problem, but speak with Alter, because he's done things here. And that was just something falling into place right there, you know, just how we even came in touch. And then we didn't even go to his place at the end. And, you know, we found an epic place. And all this was like, you know, we just needed him for our introduction. And that was then done. And then other things fell into place. And we ended up in Gainesville Poconos and Baruch Hashem. And then other, you know, and that's just part of it, you know. Things falling into place at the right time.
You know, totally. That's pretty epic. What's interesting to me is like spending as a photographer two years already with you guys at Sababa. I think the community that you guys have created for me is what I think for you guys also is what sticks the most of anything else. It's like you just like you're home. You feel like you're part of a group of people, and it's like, and they've even just through the pandemic, people have run Zooms and things throughout, especially the beginning of all of this, everything going on, like being able to keep everyone together as a group.
Yeah. And again, similar story. I would say that we're one of the ingredients, you know. I'm not trying to not toot our horn while I'm tooting our horn. Like I want to do both.
Yeah.
Because we're definitely a very powerful ingredient, and there have been many people who made their friends and their community, and their shidduchim, and you know, like lots of things like that has happened. But what's really cool is like, there's this broader community that's moving. Like you were saying, those Zooms and that. It's a lot of people who did meet through Sababa. And, you know, I was speaking to one of them, and they're like, hey, actually, it's interesting. Like, all of our people, we all know each other from Sababa. But, like, there's something beyond that's happening. There's just this momentum and this movement. And what's really cool about Sababa is that, like I said earlier, like, we just put the finger on the pulse, and all these people congregate from all this different area. And, you know, being a millennial Jew, wherever you come from, maybe your parents don't get you as much. Maybe your rabbis didn't get you as much. Maybe your non-Jewish coworkers don't get, like, whatever. And then you come here, and it's like, ah, you guys get it. Like, this is it. This is all us. This is us. So, yes, definitely the sense of community. And definitely, you know, Sababa, yay. But it's also just, like, this broader movement of Jewish, millennial, frumish, on, off, just Jewish, exploring, whatever. And it's really cool. It's a cool time to be in. So yeah, and it's Baba Baruch Hashem. It has a good floor in that, you know, it has a good space for that.
I hear that. I think in that way, how did you guys get in that first year? So like, obviously now, like you have a whole community, like you have everyone who's going to be involved and pitch in and get it off the ground in every given year, or even when we run into speed bumps, like in this year, like there's always people that now are in it fully. Like how in year one did you guys get people involved and interested?
Mendo, yeah, what do you think? How do we do it, Mendo?
I don't know. It was a challenge. I mean, we kind of just put it out there. We started posting about it on social media, and we started telling our friends, and we started, you know, just kind of spreading the word, and people were kind of like, they trusted us. It was really special. Like people started buying tickets, and it was like, wow, like people are really putting their faith in us for a first time event planner, you know, for like a first time at such a large scale. People were like, all right, we're going to this thing, these young, I mean, I was 25, I think you were 26, yeah. Alter. And we were like, you know, people were just, you know, they were down for a good time. And yeah. And again, things just kind of fell into place. We had friends of ours that, you know, hey, do you want to volunteer in this department? Could you help us with this? Could you help us with that? And we really had a lot of friends that like stepped up to really help us, every year. But, you know, the first year we didn't really know how to build like, you know, a production team and a volunteer team and how to, you know, keep it all extreme, you know, organized. And as the years went on, we kind of started learning and we're still evolving, and learning how to do it even more organized. You know, every year will be more, you know, better and better. But that first year really was kind of like a leap of faith that, you know, a lot of really cool people, you know, stepped up, you know, Miriam Gaisinski and Zalmi Weiss and Levy Goldschmidt and like all these guys that kind of just, Mendel Turner, these guys rolled in and it was just like, yo, like how, like, let's help. Let's get this done.
The beauty of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. It was really, really special. All these, you know, people just came and threw down.
Yeah. We also, like, we put some emphasis on certain things that I think paid out as well. Like, it was one of our bigger expenditures for where we were at, and we couldn't necessarily budget for it, but, like, we decided to, and we had great design, you know, and we had a good designer, and then he set up a good website, and just like when you saw the flyer and when you saw it, just looked good. Like it looked like, okay, these guys know what's going on. Like it wasn't just this schmucky, like, hey, we're some guys and we're going to show up at a place. It was like, we are this thing and it's going to be incredible. You know? So it just really had a really cool vibe right out the bag, which is not, you know, sometimes people say like, oh, you know, it's maybe like marketing is like a false, you know, it's not a real substantial. But I think like, you know, if we are these guys who have this vision, and part of the vision is that we're also these creative artists who could put out like a video that's as exciting as that right out the bag on a cold entry. And it's like, whoa, this looks good. Then that's who we are. And that's why it's like the same people who brought that brought the actual event and brought the music and brought the food. And like, we are those creative minds bringing this to the fore. I also remember, I don't know if you remember, Mendel, the first iteration, the orange like logo and the orange website. It was all, like, Mendel sent it to me, and I'm like, "Ooh!"
That was like the very beginning.
And we got the squiggle from there. The original artist gave us the Sababa squiggle.
That logo is big stuff. I feel like everyone, you guys have pushed it around.
Yeah, and it's so taken it on a life of its. Yeah, it evolved. So it started with like that squiggle, you know, that we have, and then it just said Sababa Music Festival, and it was orange and blocky, and it was like, you know. And then we gave it to this other designer who took the squiggle, and he gave this new font, and it was just, blah, just blah, blah.
Yeah, gave it a little bit of a spin.
So the two of them, both of them, really, they both really contributed to that, like, real, it's chashev, you know, it really has a chashev vibe. So
just to, I'm going to shout them out. Zevi Block made that first logo, and then Shmoly Bell Yeah. Two amazing designers, Shmuley Bell, kind of did the website and like kind of spun the logo, gave it a little life.
Yeah, and I think that was a very big part of it. And also, just for me personally, like when I would talk to my friends about it, it was like, guys, like it was, I was just freaking out, you know. I was like, I'm Bechlala salesman, but like this was something I didn't even have to like focus on selling. It was just like oozing out of me. It was like, guys, there's gonna be Shabbos. There's going to be music. And I was just freaking out, and people were like, ah. So it just had like a really fun vibe. The excitement is
contagious.
Yeah. So Baruch Hashem, that was year one, and without being too, whatever, but like we push it, nailed it. So that just led into a beautiful year 2, 3, 4 in Meretz Hashem.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Especially like you're talking about, like we're talking more about this community, and it's like, could you guys have even like imagined it getting to this? Like it's like the community side of it is like so crazy.
Never thought it would kind of turn into this. I was always like, all right, it's gonna be like a weekend, we're gonna throw a weekend event, and like that's that. And it's now a year-long friendship and a year-long connection with people. It's relationships, it's friendships, it's, you know, engagements. It's so much more than just a festival, which is, it's wild. It's very, very crazy to feel that and to experience that.
So for definitely for year one, I came in with like, we're just trying to throw a good time. You know, like there was no thought beyond that. It was like, we just want a good time and we want everybody here to have a good time. And that was literally as far, like I didn't think about beyond cleanup and, you know, pick up the, like that was my final thought on Sababa. And then after it, I was like, whoa, like something real happened here. And then later people started texting me of like, hey, so I met this guy, maybe you could introduce me. Like I didn't get their number. And I'm like, whoa, shaduch, interesting. Like I had no concept of that. And that whole back and forth behind the scenes started happening. And then WhatsApp groups started forming all over the place of like, they're bunk 8 and ooh, and like all this, like, all these different crews that started forming, and then people started posting their pictures and commenting. And I'm like, communities were formed over a weekend. And I saw it literally progress. And in my head from then, I have fantasies and whatever. But like from then I was like, I envisioned Pashit, like, I don't want to get too crazy and whatever, but like I saw basically like what a Mashiach concept could look like. Like this life of all the people getting along and dancing and eating and frolicking and you know, somehow this would just be our lives somehow, you know. And we're not quite on the way, but we're on the way. And that's, you know, I just want this to be our life. And slowly we've been implementing more and more. And obviously it's not like all right, go, you know, leave your job, sell your house, we're going to frolic in the fields. It's all responsible and balanced. But like it's adding more of that element into our lives, that like we have these places to connect, and it's becoming more ubiquitous, Baruch Hashem, and you know, it really bodes well for all of our futures, I think.
You were touching on that, like if you want to call it like a Mashiach concept almost, like the level of unity that you feel there, like at Sababa, is like, it doesn't matter what somebody's background is or where somebody is now. It's all about that we're a group of people together just enjoying life.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't mean to devolve, evolve, whatever. I didn't mean to like turn this mildly into like a Dvar Torah sesh, but like two thoughts.
Dropping Torahs, baby.
That's it, man. Because these two thoughts have been guiding me a little bit with Sababa in a big way, both from a participation. When people come, it's not just that, okay, I bought a ticket and now entertain me. Let me just sit back and you guys will do the entertainment. It's more of like when the Pasuk talks about the Yidden going up to the Beis Mikdash for Eil Regel, and it says that you can't come empty handed. Like you have to come. And yes, it was the temple and it was the priests and they were the show and that was the thing. But like everybody had to come with their gift. Whatever God blessed you with, that's what you bring to the show. and guys would come and they'd throw their own parties and they'd give for everybody else and they'd be singers and fire dancers and like they themselves were the party. So there was that pasuk of Ish Kamat Nas Yaday, everybody should come with their gift. And then there was this idea of, it says if all the Jews would keep two Shabbos, the Mashiach will come. And to me, that always sounded very like a transactional thing. Like they weren't related. It was just do this and I'll give you this. But after witnessing Sababa, where it's like people come together with that giving attitude, with we are all here to contribute. And then we spend Shabbos. And if anybody needs anything, everybody's got them. Oh, I need a sweater. Boom. Like a shawl appears on you, you know? Like it literally, it's just whatever you need is there. Because we all came with that attitude to give. So to me now it makes sense. If all the Jews come together and keep two Shabbosim, if we have these connecting times, that's what Mashiach is. It's not a tit for tat. You gave me this, I'll give you that. This is that. By us coming and doing these things, and everybody coming open-handed and being beautiful and giving and sharing. So that's why that vibe's in the air, because we really are, you know, we really are doing it, man. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild how it's, yeah, it's crazy how it's evolved. Again, like, we didn't come into this expecting that. At least I didn't.
No way.
I was always just like, I mean, because I've, you know, again, I've been to a lot of, like, secular music festivals, and, like, people are always helping each other and sharing food and sharing drinks, but, like, it's never... You don't, you're there with 10,000 other people or whatever, however many thousand other people, and everyone's in their own little camping area. Everyone's in their own zone. And like, I don't know, the achdus is there, but it's not like when you have a whole festival eating Friday night dinner together, like there's just something so powerful about that.
Yeah.
And the entire festival, no matter how big it is, you know, dancing Havdalah together, like there's these moments throughout the weekend where everyone is together. And that's, like, it's just very powerful. And, like, creating this space, this non-judgmental space where, like, people could really just come and be as they are. And we have Jews from every affiliation that come to our event. You know, like, every you know, whatever, every denomination and background. And it's cool when everyone could come and just experience and feel very comfortable to be there and to be themselves. Like that's, yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah, no, both years I've been there, like just Havdalah is, like you pointed out, is like a whole experience in and of itself. Oh, yeah. It's almost like I'm sitting here, we're talking and trying to say words in a podcast. And like, I don't know if there are words to really describe that experience.
No, I have the hardest time explaining it. You just got to come experience it. That's what I tell everyone. Yeah. I can't put it into words. Even the videos that we have, like the footage, it can't really express what the vibe is. You know, you gotta come experience it.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I think this is like an interesting way to transition into the music, because I think especially at Sababa, there's a lot of music involved in Havdalah and stuff like that. But where do you guys see like that connection between like faith and spirituality and music? Because it kind of, in the world of a festival, obviously it's the music festival. Obviously we're putting out music, but it's also, it's like both. And like, where does that connection lie?
Hmm. Well, music is, it's really, and if you want to get like super trippy on it, but music is really the vibration of the whole universe. And everything is emanating and resonating at a certain tone. And as you walk down the street and you're giving off your own internal vibrations, and then you meet somebody else and they're doing their own thing, and sometimes you meet people and it clashes or it harmonizes. And as you walk down the street, or different signs you see or different things you come across, there's this almost bombardment of different energies and swirling things. But with music, when anybody's in this particular vicinity that hears this sound, it's going through everyone. And it brings everybody onto this one frequency. That's what happens. The music's going out doing this. Everybody hearing it is like, oh, yeah. And now everybody's in this one motion. So what music automatically does is it brings everybody onto the same page. That is music. So when you want to get people to come together, there's many ways to do it. People do it with classes and lectures and seminars. And it's like there's a guy trying to put down this vibration, but it's complex and it's in my words and I'm giving all these different ideas and you might agree with some of them and not all of them. And now it's like some of us are on the same page, sort of. Music, you want people to get on one page and you put down a good sound. And yeah, not everybody's into that tune and sometimes people will go somewhere else, whatever. But like whoever's in that room is on one exact frequency. So music and connectivity is ubiquitous. And when we want to bring people together, me personally, I like music not just as a show where people are the consumer and they sit and watch it, but I love the interactive version of it, which is why we have these kumsitzes, which is why we have, you know, this past time we had a drum circle. And that's why you dance. Dance is your interaction with the music. And all this is that I'm not just here to, oh, let me see what you're saying. It's let's do this together. Let's get on page. And some of the best kumsitzes of my life have been at Sababa because you have 500 people and a lot of them are super talented and there's music happening and they all come like, they're like, bzz, like, ooh, ooh, there's songs going on here. And they start piling on the harmonies. It's like, nah, ah, like the whole place just starts freaking out. And I remember year one, as Shabbos was going out, behind the dining room on a hill, I think Ellie Levin was leading that kumsitz, and it was just like a wave of delightful sound, and you felt automatically that everybody was just on this one frequency, and it was so incredible. So definitely music is a key component, and very powerful for me also was when I was at non-Jewish festivals. So there's always music, obviously. And then I went to a Jewish festival. And during not Shabbos, there was music. And during Shabbos, there was nothing. That's what made it Jewish, that we were not doing anything on Shabbos. And I was like, what? Now by us, Shabbos, there's so much music. Friday night davening could take an hour and a half. And people are singing and dancing. And then the meals are kumsitzes all the time. And then it's just nonstop. And I look at music as being one of the keys, and you could get so many people on one page. If you're having a deep, good conversation, it's probably limited to like 4, 5, 10 people, 15 people, mm-hmm. If you're like super talented, or one lecturer talking to 100, whatever. You could get thousands of people on one page singing the song, and it's stupendous. So definitely music.
Yeah.
Definitely connectivity. We have many ideas to up the music, you know. We have all these fun, you know, we're not gonna go in spoiler alert, you know, come to the show and we'll show you what it is. But there's like a lot of really cool ideas to up the level of engagement with music. So definitely yeah. Music and connectivity.
Yeah, music is that universal language that everybody just vibes with, and whether you're a kumsitzer or a DJ fan or like, you know, like rock music. You know, we cater not all at once at the same time, but we have all the different kinds of music at Sababa Fest too, which is something we've tried to like diversify, which kind of caters to different genres of music. And then you have people that like one kind of music, but they'll go experience the other kind and vice versa. And it's a real universal language, and people always end up just enjoying wherever, like whatever stage they're at, you know? So that's, yeah, no, it's that universal language is kind of just very powerful.
It's actually been mildly tricky because when you go to a lot of music festivals, they're centered around a genre. And the people who come mm-hmm. will be interested in your music. By us, the central theme is the gathering of like-minded Jews. Like, that's the central theme.
Yeah.
And now we also provide music, and it's a big ingredient of it. But to get music that everybody's into has been quite the trick. Like we had Marvin, for example. And Marvin is an incredible Israeli jazz, like lightning speed, insane skill and musicality. It's incredible, but it's so hyper niche. And a lot of people are like, what are we watching? Like, what is this? Where's the bounce and the boogie and the top 40s? And I'm like, top 40s? Top, like I was losing my mind. So it's like
none of that.
So it's interesting because like trying to cater to the musical needs of the crowd that didn't come around a musical genre. They came around an idea. So that's been an interesting balance. And like Mendel says, we tried to diversify the sound and we'll have DJs and DJs that do more of this trippy thing and DJs that do more of this bass to the face thing and DJs that do more top 40s. Or we'll have a band, more of a rock vibe, more of a jazz vibe. I mean, Genome freaking project, you know, I could sit and watch them for 17 hours. And it's like, somebody was like, oh yeah, what was that band? Like the who now doing the what now? And I'm like, ah! So the whole thing was just, it's fascinating. So that's why we do have two stages. There's a Kumsitz one and there's the main stage. And within main stage, we try to like give you a little bit of the different vibes and flavors. We have some really cool musical announcements for the future in Ritz Hashem, which again, cards to chest, but there's some really cool ideas that we've been playing with that we think will get more people excited and more people on page. But yeah, it's been interesting trying to balance everybody's taste and trying to get like a good sound for the people.
I hear that. Do you guys have any, obviously like we have names that we're not going to talk about yet, but like dream headliners that you as in what you're creating that fits best into that mold that you're trying to create?
Yeah, there's a lot of talent that we want to bring to the table. So because we have Shabbos, a lot of secular festivals, like if you're showing up on Thursday, or even if you're showing up on Friday, you have music from when you show up until when you leave. Like, you could have 25, 30 bands on a festival lineup and have, you know, plenty of time throughout the day to go, you know, sit at the main stage and see all these bands on rotation. For us, it's been a challenge because for 26 hours during our festival, everything shuts down for Shabbos. So the music component becomes all a cappella, and like our, you know, big bands and big DJs, like none of that could be performed, obviously, on Shabbos. So we've always been like a little bit limited in terms of like how many like slots we could fill up for before and after Shabbos. And we also want to bring something new to the table. Like, we don't want to bring a band that people have seen 1,000 times. So we want to, like, you know, bring new talent and new bands, you know, to introduce people to new bands. You know, Genome Project played a show in New York a couple years ago. It was maybe a month or two after Sababa Fest. And I went to the show because, you know, gotta see Genome Project. And there was a handful of Sababa Fest people there, and they were like, oh yeah, I saw these guys at Sababa, we wanted to come see them again. And like that's like part of, you know, what for me I find that incredible, like introducing these new bands to new fans. Like that's, you know, help spreading this creativity of music. But yeah, I mean, there's an endless amount of talent that we want to bring to the table. We could throw a festival and bring every band that we know, we would do it. Mashiach times, man. Mashiach times. And we have 30,000, you know, whatever, 100,000 Jews that want to come celebrate Mashiach. I mean, we could have 15 stages going around the clock.
Yeah. We're building the infrastructure for that. There's no question. We're building the infrastructure for that.
There's definitely from local. Sorry, go finish.
No. You were mid. You finished. I'm sorry. You were mid.
Nah, I was saying from like the local like singer songwriters up to like national touring bands. Like we wanna cover it all.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Was this like all like? Did you grow up on these types of music, or like where'd your musical background grow from that kind of played this role in it?
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I did not grow up listening to any of this kind of music. I grew up very much like Mordechai Ben David and Avram Fried and like Miami Boys Choir and that was that.
Yeah.
And then in 2012, my friend invited me to come see Phish with him in Atlantic City. And I was kind of like in this weird like limbo phase between yeshiva. I hated yeshiva. I was kind of like taking my own path. I was 18 at the time. I was kind of doing my own, you know, experiencing my own path. And then Phish show we saw two nights just kind of blew my mind and changed it. That changed my life forever. It kind of opened up my world to a lot of improvisational music and like a lot of other jam bands. Mm-hmm. And that's been my life since, pretty much.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I feel like a lot of us experience this like very interesting musical journey because, you know, for me also, we started off with, you know, there's Avram Fried. I loved Journeys from A.B. Rottenberg. I loved Destiny from Ellie Nathan, you know, but like they're incredible. Like I'm not just saying like, oh, in comparison to the other Jewish music, like I think A.B. Rottenberg is posh and a legend. Like the guy's incredible. Mm-hmm. But like we had this kind of limited scope of music, and then but that wasn't it really, because other major influences of music in our lives was davening, and like think back to like Friday nights in camp and you're singing with your guys, and like, you know, that in a big way was what music was to me. Nigunim, as we got a little older and we went to yeshiva, and the nigunim are, you know, it's powerful. You have guys sitting and like, you know, so like that was our musical journey, but it was very controlled and it was robust, but it was controlled. And then, you know, being 13, 14 and getting an iPod and having one of your friends like, hoo, 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 you know, he fills it up with the whole illegal stash. And you're like, wait a minute, what's all this? This is interesting. Aw, you know, so like you start getting into like a slow development, and then you find your own music, and then you end up in different genres. And then, you know, like I went to a festival, and it was an electronic festival. I never had heard any electronic music before. And it was like, it was a different world. It was a completely different universe of how people interact, of how music works, about how dancing works. And it was like, nah, nah, you know, like just take your whole perspective and shift it. So musical journey was interesting. And now actually, if you look at Sababa, it has a lot of those features. You go to the Kumsit stage and it has that like camp song singy vibe. You go to davening and it has that shul Friday night vibe. You have shal shudas and it has that niggin vibe. You go to the main stage and there's EDM vibe and there's band vibe and all these things. And it's interesting because it's reflective of our musical journey in a big way.
It's indicative of that millennial Jewish journey.
Yeah, 100%.
Like almost everyone there have a very similar musical pathway in finding that balance.
Yeah, and that's why we try to actually maintain all those. Like it's not like, oh, we had this locked in box of music when we were young. Now that we're free, we're just gonna blah. It's like, no. We have always been on a musical journey, and all the music is always with us, always. And that's why the davenings, the havdalas. Havdalah is one of our best events at Sababa, and it's literally it's davening, and then it goes into like, you know, Jewish dancey songs, and it's all, and that's one of our biggest events, and we don't abandon where we come from. And that's another feature of the millennial Jewish frumgai is we're able to, I feel like in years past, and still today, I'm not saying it's ubiquitous, but in years past, I felt like it was very black and white. Either you were bought in or you ran away. Like it was like, you know, those were the options. And nowadays it's like, I'm this person and I live in this world. I'm aware of all the things going on in pop culture and media and news and politics and business and what's happening in the world. And I'm very deeply connected and aware with my davening and my God and my connection to each other and the universe. And I want to be spiritual and physical and I want this. And musically, I think we represent that as well, which is fascinating.
Yeah. I feel like, that's an interesting way of for sure to say it. We're not trying to run away from the Judaism with with our music, with Sababa. Like we grew up in a certain box or in a certain like lifestyle, and we all kind of evolved into, you know, the young adults that we are now, kind of are in our own creative way, maybe not so black and white the way we were brought up, but we're definitely not trying to like bring people away from that. On the contrary, we're trying to bring people to feel accepted with the differences and with the creativeness of what we're bringing to the table. You know, we still very much appreciate Shabbos and appreciate kosher food and appreciate, you know, just the community and the music at large, but also with a flair, and we want to, you know, keep it fun and keep it exciting as opposed to like running away. Like we're not, it's the opposite, you know, if that makes any sense.
100%.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I think you guys kind of did that beautifully with your Rosh Hashanah event that you guys threw this year as your event, because obviously COVID kind of made a little bit of problems for this year's normal Sababa Fest. You guys were able to put on a Rosh Hashanah event, which kind of takes all these ideas that we were just talking about and kind of fuses it even in a more powerful way, I think, in a sense. If you want to tell me a little bit more about how that went and what that was like.
Rosh Hashanah was it was different. It was different because, like, what we were just discussing was kind of doing this, you know, where we have both worlds blending. Rosh Hashanah was a bit more of a deeper dive into the, like, chazen, daven, meal, spirit. And yes, we did have matzah yom tov. There were, we had a concert, and in one of the bunkhouses had a DJ blow it up. And, like, it did have that fun aspect to it. But Rosh Hashanah was definitely more of a deeper dive because it was Rosh Hashanah, you know? Like, we sat there, we davened from 9 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. No joke. And it was incredible. And then, like, we took, so it did have that flair. Because we took, like, from Tekiyas onward, we went to the field and we blasted Shofar just over the universe and everybody was there. And we sang these Nagunim, but it's outdoors. And, like, so it had all this different energy going on. But it, in my estimation, it was more of a deeper dive into the religious and spirit side of Sababa. And I personally loved it. but I don't want that to happen to Sababa either. Like, I want Sababa to be able to be, like, I don't want to take Sababa and take it to the right and lead it down this, like, you know, spiritual, focused, meditative, like, I want Sababa to be the music and the dance and the Shabbos and the kosher and the people. Rosh Hashanah was that deep dive, and I genuinely appreciated it. And what I really hope for Sababa, in a branding perspective, because this could be tough potentially, but Sababa has many different functions that we do, and each one has its own particular vibe, and I want that. I don't want to have one, this is what Sababa is. I want Sababa Music Festival to be what we were describing earlier of the music and the thing. I want Sababa Nachmu and the camping to be a more rough, closer to earth, no beds, you know, more one with nature aspect, and also the music. I want Sababa Rosh Hashanah to be a deep spiritual connective dive. I want all these things. Maybe we're being a little too ambitious and it's going to get confusing to the clientele and they don't know.
We got to brand it right, but that's exactly what we're doing. It started with the festival and it's evolved into a lot of different events throughout the year. People are like, we'll do a winter ski weekend and do a camping trip and do a Rosh Hashanah. Like, all these things have been evolving, and now it's really just kind of branding, because there's people that have come to our camping trip and they're like, oh, we're at Sababa Music Festival. It's like, you know, this is a branding thing. This is a camping trip. This isn't the festival. You know, so now it's just a matter of how to work on that branding. But it definitely the way it's evolved into multiple events throughout the year has been very, very cool.
It's interesting because you're taking a group of people who are no longer, maybe they started in a box, maybe they didn't start in a box, but they're no longer in a box, and you're offering them something that isn't a box. You're offering them a festival that is not going to fit into one particular box. And I think that is what part of that beauty is. It's like, if you took somebody who was a square and tried to fit them into a circle, it wouldn't work. But if you took somebody who is malleable and figuring themselves out, you can fit them, they can fit into multiple areas and thoughts.
That's very meta, how, like, we're on this journey, and Sababa itself is on this journey, where there's different vibes at different places, at different events, and each one is so unique, and I think we have been successful at portraying it, more or less. Like, nobody showed up at Rosh Hashanah saying, what? Like, we're davening? where's the DJ? It's like, you know, I feel like we did a good job at conveying the vibe for each particular one. And as we develop, people will know from year to year, oh, if you want this deep dive, you go to Rosh Hashanah. If you want this, you know, and if you want it all, you could go to all. We have people who come to all, and each one's unique. And I personally, a different part of my soul gets touched at every event. When we do Sababa in the Field, Sababa in the Field was like, it was just seeing all the Jews rolling around in raw nature, like, flowing through everybody, and there was just such a serene beauty to it. And it wasn't at, like, Sababa Music Festival, food and music and thing. It was raw nature. And then when you go to Sababa Music Festival, it's like, you know, and then you go to Rosh Hashanah, it's like, and each one had its own massive energy shift. and I love them, and I hope to convey that to people, each one in its own unique, and I hope that people come and enjoy, because they really are, you know, like, fulfilling, like, really.
I definitely hear that. I think we kind of just touched on this here, but, like, to close, like, what's you guys, like, your ultimate vision? We kind of touched on it throughout the podcast, but, like, where you want to see Sababa Fest going, and what you guys see of, like, the future. Now, you obviously have had 4 years of building it, and you kind of see, like, we talked about, like, when you started, you didn't know where it was going to go. Now you have what you've already accomplished. Now, where do you see it going from there?
Mendeley, got thoughts?
I mean, it's, so as we said, it's still evolving. Obviously, there's a lot of things that kind of fall into place. The big picture, I mean, we, obviously there's a lot of, like, big name artists that would be really cool to bring on our lineup. I the big picture, eventually we would love to have, like, a property, a Sababa Fest, you know, 200, 300 acres, a farm, being able to host people for weekends, camping trips, you know, Shabbatones, you know, even just, you know, couples that want to come, you want to come one or mm-hmm. with a friend, and even not official events. Like, if it's an off weekend and someone wants to come camping, come for Shabbos, whatever it is, like, having a space, a creative space for people that want to just come hang out. Maybe we'll have a studio and an art gallery or an art studio. You know what I mean? All these little rooms and spaces for people to come, you know, do their creative expression on the property could be really cool. You know, woodworking or whatever it may be. But having a space for that and an open space where people could kind of just come be themselves, that would be probably one of our biggest dreams and goals, to have a Sababa land. As well as taking it to different parts of the world. I mean, I would love to do a Sababa Fest in Israel, do one on the West Coast, maybe do one down in Florida. Like, there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of need, and people from all over have reached out to me, like, hey, when are you doing one here and there? Like, I can't travel to Pennsylvania for every time you guys do an event. So, you know, obviously we can't throw an event for whatever. I mean, obviously it's got to be smart. We have to, you know, make the right moves. But, you know, the long-term goal would be to be able to bring it out to different places.
Yeah, most definitely. That's definitely top of the list of the goals of having our own place and doing it in multiple locations. And I love the vision you had over there, Mendel, of having, like, the different, like, workflowy creative spaces. Like, if somebody wants to, and there will be, like, some master woodworker, and then people come and they interact with them and they can make something. Like, I love all this stuff. It's incredible. In the near future, what I hope is, and we're already putting pieces into place for this, is more crossover of diversity within the Jewish world. And because right now we do have quite the diverse, and it's mamish unbelievable to me of the crossover, and everybody's getting along and meeting each other and getting insight into different communities. And it's mind-blowing to me personally, and I'm sure other people as well. But even more of that, and we're having conversations with different community influencers or leaders, and to have more collaboration and more interaction. And that hopefully leads down the road to what we've been touching on all along of everyone on this one page and everybody coming around the banner. And it's not even about Sababa and ticket sales and finance, which it has to be all those as well. It needs to be like a financially sound operation for it to be real and legitimate. But it's really about this oneness of thing, you know, and we're on it, and I want to see more of it. And we have the pieces in place and the meetings with the people to get more of it. And Amir Tashem, and all those dreams in one place, Amir Tashem.
That's amazing. It's funny. The one thing I wrote down during this entire thing was the word unity. And I think that's kind of, that really encompasses everything that you guys are trying to accomplish. And that is important to have, because it's the essence of a lot.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So
that's a great unity. That's it.
Yeah, where can people find Sababa Fest online or social media or whatever? What's the best way for them to find you and find more about Sababa Fest.
Hashtag Instagram, Sababa Fest. Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp. You could hit Alter or I up with any questions. Slide into our DMs.
Yeah, and we'll get all the links to you for like the website and all the thing. We'll get all the links up. And
follow Shimon Lindenblatt Photo Photography. What's your handle?
Shimon L Photo.
Shimon L Photo. Follow him. Yo, he's Shimon. I just want to shout out to Shimon real quick. First of all, thank you for inviting us on your podcast and interviewing us. But also for just taking awesome photos at our festival for the past couple years. It's been awesome having you there and getting. The other day I was going through my hard drive and just looking at photos, and it was just bringing me back to these like crazy places and memories. So, you know, it's therapeutic for me to go through my hard drive every couple weeks. So it's cool to kind of just see the pictures and the memories that were created and the people and having you capture all those memories has been really neat.
Thank you.
I'm glad we met in Israel on Birthright.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
An absolute pleasure.
Cool. Good stuff. Yo, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Shimon.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. For more conversations like the one you just heard, please follow us on Instagram at Our Faith Through Music and subscribe in your favorite podcasting app. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.